grade, you're welcome to go back to Children's Church for your special time there together. We're going to be in the Gospel of John today as we unfold text for us. But first, let's prepare through a word of prayer. Lord Christ, this prayer of yours for the disciples is also a prayer for us, we know, as you sit enthroned on the right hand of God as continued intercessor on our behalf. And so we pray that you would intercede on our behalf this day, that we would know the Father as you know the Father, through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we pray then as we unfold this text, you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, minds to understand, most importantly, hearts to receive the good news that is here today. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I woke up this morning thinking of my 82-year-old mother. She's going to be up with us in about a month to celebrate Ezekiel's graduation. And as I woke up, these songs were running through my head. Good morning to you, good morning to you. We're all in our places with bright, shiny faces. You know the song? Oh, this is the way to start a new day. Woohoo, Mom! She would sing that to us, or rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Do you know this one? Join me. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. When I was a young boy, I thought, ooh, how exciting. This is so fun, Mom. But in high school, I wasn't that excited about it anymore. As I look back, I know what my mom was doing as she woke the four of us who were still in the house, the four of us kids, up for school. She was helping to set our minds on joy. You see, I think joy is a choice that we make every day. And my mom was helping us through song to make that choice. Jesus here in this text is still with his disciples, known as the farewell discourse, chapters 13 through 17 of John. Jesus is instructing them as he leaves them. And 3 weeks ago, we heard from Pastor Corey, Jesus spoke to the disciples about love, loving God and loving one another. Last week, we took a look at the grace God gives us as an antidote to shame. That when we see the grace of God as he sees us, then that shame is replaced. And today we're going to look at Jesus' instruction on joy. And if you think about it, love and grace and joy, these three things Jesus imparts to the disciples on his last night with them together. Jesus in our text says, I am coming to you now, as he prays to his Father. He says to the disciples, I am going away and I'm coming back to you, as he prays. Then he says, if you loved me, you would be glad. That word literally means you would be filled with joy, or you would be joy-filled, or we say it, joyful, that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. He says to the disciples as he continues to pray, while I am still in the world, I say these things so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. So as Jesus prepares to go up into heaven, and by the way, ascension was this week, and the ascension we remember is Jesus being lifted up into the clouds onto the right hand of God. And so today we also remember, on top of Mother's Day, that it is also Ascension Sunday. It's interesting here in this farewell discourse, or I would suggest to you, it might be better described as a discourse on joy. For Jesus uses the word in these chapters 13 through 17 for joy no less than 7 times. And that's significant for this small corpus of Scripture. If you love me, you would be glad, filled with joy. John 14:28. John 15:11. Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy would be made complete. Chapter 16, verse 20 and verse 21. Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. It says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. 16:22, Jesus says, so with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, have joy again, and no one will make it will take away your joy. 16:24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And then the 7th usage is found here in chapter 17. And you know what? Apparently, we're in great need of joy. In an article written on March 20th, 2018, entitled The Unhappy States of America, the author writes, America these days is not a happy place. Are we surprised? That adds up to us. Even though the economy is up, polarization is at an all-time high, and a feeling of malaise, or worse, grips the nation. The author continues, our happiness, or what researchers refer to as subjective well-being, is down across the nation, according to a detailed study by the Gallup organization. The study takes into account survey results for more than 2.5 million Americans. That's quite a sample size, by the way. It examines how people feel in their day-to-day lives across key dimensions of well-being, including physical health and wellness, supportive relationships in the family and personal relationships, financial and economic security, and having a sense of purpose and connection to one's community. Despite some gains in specific categories, the author continues, the overall result show a nation where well-being is in sharp decline. From 2016 to 2017, America saw its largest year-over-year drop in well-being in the 10 years that Gallup has tracked these data. That's amazing. Furthermore, 21 states registered absolute declines in their levels of well-being, and not a single state showed a statistically significant improvement in 2017. So for those of you who like numbers and statistics, there you go. For those of us who don't really pay attention to numbers and statistics, but we know in our spirits that our world is becoming ever increasingly unhappy, well, here's the data to back it up. This is a tough world in which we live, and it is getting tougher. But Jesus says that he gives us our joy. In this text, Jesus is helping the disciples move from their grief to joy. There is no doubt Jesus has held nothing back to the disciples. He is going to leave them, and permanently. He leaves them, but first they find joy in that he goes to the Father. Jesus is making a promise and fulfillment formula work here for the disciples. The promise is found in Luke 22. At daybreak, the council of elders and the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. So this is recording the period of time that Jesus is before the leaders and the elders of the church in Jerusalem. They say to him, if you are the Messiah, tell us. Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, here comes the promise, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. And then the fulfillment is found in Luke 24. It's the reminder of the ascension into heaven. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted his hands and blessed them, did Jesus. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up, caught up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Did you hear the joy of the disciples there? That Jesus was lifted up into heaven? And why do they have joy that Jesus has left them? Well, because, as Jesus said, you will find joy or be joyful that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now they would see, as Jesus has ascended into heaven, a God who rules over all of the world and creation. Jesus at the right hand of God would begin his rule and authority. Jesus would have power and dominion that he didn't have in the incarnation in his flesh. Jesus would have all things put under his feet. And Jesus would begin his headship over the church. And so as they grieve Jesus going to be with the Father, they also choose joy for the gift that they would get by his being with the Father. Number two, Jesus leaves them, but will not orphan them. Here comes the promise and then the fulfillment. The promise is found in John chapter 14, a few chapters before this one we're studying today. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And when Jesus says, I will come to you here, he doesn't mean at the end of times, no. He means that he is going to come to them immediately. Remember, it was how long after the death of Jesus that he appeared again to the disciples? Not a trick question. You know this one. It was 3 days. As he was raised from the tomb, Luke recounts in chapter 24 that it was then again on the evening of that first day, the evening of the day of the resurrection, Jesus came and stood among the disciples in the upper room, except for Thomas. And the disciples, says Luke, were overjoyed. Jesus had come back to them. And not just back from a trip or a long day's travel or 3 days away on a vacation. No, Jesus came back to them after death. And here's the promise, he wouldn't leave them ever again alone. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Are you starting to pick up on the importance of the liturgical calendar, by the way? Today we celebrate Ascension on a Sunday. Next week we celebrate Pentecost, the breathing out, the giving of the Spirit, the fulfillment of the promise that God would not leave the disciples and us orphaned. And so again, they have joy because the Spirit of Christ is in them and now us to help us pray, to guide us to truth, to enable our faith, to produce good fruit, to equip us with gifts. This is all the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And so, even though Jesus leaves his disciples, his beloved friends, they choose joy, knowing that he sits in a place of power and authority at the right hand of Father, knowing that they have had breathed upon them the very Spirit of Jesus. And then lastly here, another promise. Jesus will leave them, but will return again permanently in glory. The promise is recorded in Matthew 22. And then all the people of the earth will mourn, and when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, this is Jesus speaking, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Peoples of the earth are those who aren't in Christ Jesus. The elect here are those who are in Christ Jesus. So for one group, there is great terror. For the other, there is great joy. Where's the fulfillment here? Where is that recorded in Scripture? Well, guess what? It hasn't happened yet. We are living in that age, the end of times, where we are waiting on the fulfillment of the promise of the second coming of Jesus. And so why we wait? What do? Do we choose joy? Remembering that Christ will fulfill his promise to us. Christ will come again to set the world right. Christ will come again and establish a new earth and a new heavens. Christ will come again and defeat once and for all the ruler of this world, Satan. So how do we turn our laments, how do we turn our mourning into joy? I think my mom was on to something as she busted in on us as kids, singing those songs, reminding us to choose joy. We remember Scripture gives us that same encouragement. This is the day that the Lord has made. Join me. Rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice. Be filled with joy and be glad in it. Choose joy. We get to choose. We could choose to be in despair as the world has, to lament our worsening station in life and the decline of the world around us. Or we can have the eternal perspective that remembers the coming of our King. I want to close with a poem written by Mary Oliver. She's a Pulitzer Prize winning poet, entitled, "Why I Wake Early." Hello, sun in my face. Hello, you who make the morning and spread it over the fields and into the faces of the tulips and the nodding morning glories and into the windows of even the miserable and the crotchety. Best preacher that ever was, dear star that just happens to be where you are in the universe. Keep us from ever darkness, to ease us with warm touching, to hold us in the great hands of light. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Watch now how I start the day in happiness, in kindness, and I would add, in joy. Amen. Please stand now as we